because He loves us. Our love for Him is merely a response for His perfect love for us. Hallelujah. I like that scripture in 1 John 4, verse 18. And the Living Translation, Living Bible says, how can we be afraid of someone who loves us perfectly? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll give our worship team a big appreciation clap there. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good, is He not? Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. And it's been a little bit over a month, I guess, since we've been here. So we always enjoy coming over, filling in for Pastor Hagen's, plurals, the Hagen's pastors, all right? And, of course, they're all, as I said, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are in Alabama. I did find out, I don't know if Greg knew, but they are not Facebook Live-ing. I just texted somebody. The church there is live streaming, though, if you're interested in that. So Mrs. Hagen will be tomorrow morning. Well, it starts at 10 their time, so probably 9. And then at nighttime, I think they start at 7, so that'd be 6 our time. So if you want to catch those services, you can do that at the church. And I don't even know what church they're at. They're in Madison. You have to look it up there, and it'll show you. All right? Praise the Lord. Well, have you got your Bible with you tonight? Are you ready to hear the Word of God tonight?
Amen.
If you would, I want to start in Philemon. Philemon only has one chapter. So we could say chapter 1, but Philemon here, I think that's how his name said. You know how that goes. Maybe we'll get to heaven. He'll correct us. All right. Hey, with a name like Gregorich, you've spent your life correcting people on how to say your name. My wife thought she was going to get a good deal, and she got married. Her last name was Routson, and that she heard everything you can imagine. Rootsahan and, it's got a Z in it, so how many, not a whole lot of folks got Z. But then she became Gregorich, so that didn't help very much with her. But old Philemon here, or Philemon, or however how he's going to go by, there's some good things that Paul said to him here. And I want us to look at verse 6 tonight and start here. And before we do that, let's pray. Father, we just thank You tonight. We give You praise, and we give You honor, and we give You glory. This is the day that You have made, Lord. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Father, we look to Your Word tonight. Your Word is our life. We live by the Word of God. It is our nourishment. Thank You, Father God, tonight. The Holy Spirit is sent to teach us and guide us and lead us into all the truth. Help us tonight, Holy Spirit, to speak forth the truth of Your Word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand, that we might be converted and that we might be saved from all from all that Jesus has delivered us from. We give You all the praise and all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 6. He says here that the communication of your faith may become effectual. In other words, that your faith and the living of your faith. How many of you know we live by faith? Is that right? The just shall live by faith. We are a faith people. This Rhema was founded on, you know, Mark 11, 23 and 24 on using our faith and praying in faith. And it said that the communication of your faith may become effectual. How many of you want to have effective faith? You want your faith to work, right? But notice here, how is that? He says, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you know we're not going to talk tonight about us being in Christ? Our subject tonight is going to be God in us. God in us. Living in the reality of the good things that we have because God is in us. Amen? He is in us. In Christ. We're in Christ, yes, but He is in us. And that's just as important as us being in Christ, Him being in us. And so we want to look at that tonight. So I want to start, after we read this, let's go to John chapter 4, please. And I have been spending a lot of time personally and ministry-wise in the Gospel of John here lately. And just so many things, you know. How many of you know sometimes you read things over and over? You've read it before. You've heard it before. Then all of a sudden, you see something new. something you'd never seen before. And I'm seeing some things out of this gospel. Thank God, we have to be careful that we don't isolate ourselves. I heard a minister say one time who had come to a meeting, said, "This is the first time I've sat in a church service that somebody else preached for over 20 years. I think that's dangerous. We can get ourselves isolated that way. But I've listened to some other ministers and some different things here, constantly listening, and I love to hear what others have to say and look at the Word of God. And some of that, what I've been listening to, I believe God's led me that way, has sparked some of these things. And so I just thank God for it. Now I'm going to start here in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 5, okay? He said, "Then came he," speaking of Jesus, "to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on a well, and it was about the sixth hour." Now why was Jesus weary? Because he was a man, just like us. Could you imagine God getting tired? God's not going to get tired walking from wherever he's from. But Jesus was a man, just like you and I. In other words, he was a human being, just like us. Verse 7 said, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, 'Give me to drink,' for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Now we find out later he didn't have anything. He didn't have a cup. He didn't have a verse. That's why he's asking her if she could give him something to drink. For the disciples were gone away to the city to buy what they had need of there. Verse 9. "Then said the woman of Samaria to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" Now, just a little background here. The Samaritans, according to the Jews, were considered to be half-breed Jews. In other words, they were of Samaria, but they're married to he had one Jewish person, one Samaritan, and so they worshiped the same God. And it's interesting, they worship, but the Jews, who were so concerned about outward purity, all right, they wouldn't accept him, wouldn't have anything to do with him. And as far as they were concerned, they couldn't have anything to do with him because they were impure. I mean, and so she says, "How is it that you're asking me?" Jesus answered and said to her, look at verse 10 here. "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' then you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." Given you living water. I want you to notice that. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again.'" Now, like some other translations, they bring it out, "shall thirst again and again." In other words, have you had, I mean, I just drank a little bottle of this water here, but I could probably down this one here pretty quick too. Why? This natural, anything naturally, anything of this one, you're going to have to keep on drinking, right? To quench the thirst. Now, we're going to bring that thirst issue up here in just a little bit again. Verse 14, then he says, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him," now notice this, "shall be in him." Everybody say, "in him." So he's talking about not us being in him, but that water being in us. Now, what does the water represent? It's that well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's the life of God in us. Now, we know that comes by the Spirit of God from some of our other teaching. We don't have time to talk about that tonight. But that life is in us. It's in us, that water quenching every thirst. In other words, every thirst that we have can only be quenched. He said, "shall never." And notice he said, "never thirst again." The thirst that we have in life, the thirst that we have for self-worth, the thirst that we have for acceptance, and it's real. You know it's real, right? The acceptance and to be loved, all of that thirst. If we try to quench that thirst with anything other than his life in us, him being in us, we're going to have to keep drinking because none of that will ever quench the thirst. But his life, him being in us, will quench that thirst. Now he goes on here and says something that's interesting. "The woman said, 'Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband, in that you said truly. Now, it's interesting that Jesus brings this up. Why is he bringing that up? Well, here's one reason. He's pointing out to her that, look, you've had five husbands. You've been trying. I went Elmer Fudd there all of a sudden. trying to quench a thirst that you have on the inside, a need that you have on the inside through relationships. Amen. And you've had five husbands. Now you got another man. He's not your husband. And guess what? That need's still not met. See, he's pointing that out to her. But he said, if you'll drink of this water that I give you. So that tells me this. Our life and the needs that we have, God has purpose to provide all that we need from the inside of us, because he's in us. God is in us. I've said here before to you that God knew that if he put everything in Christ, or in other words, God knew everything we need. That's why he put everything we'd ever need in Christ, because he knew he was going to put Christ in us. In him, the Bible says, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him is fullness and completeness. We're not ever going to be full. We're not ever going to be complete as a person until we start living from the inside out. So you're going to have to keep drinking. You're going to have to keep drinking that drink of relationships, of a job, of money, of possessions. Whatever it is that you're using to try to fill that need, you're going to have to keep drinking from it, because it's never going to satisfy that thirst. But if you drink from the well that's on the inside of you as a Christian, of God being in us, then you can satisfy that thirst. Amen? You know, you think about it. You look at folks in the world. They're trying everything. They're trying to do anything and everything they can to satisfy something that can only be satisfied by God. Amen. Why? God created us in his image. He created us to be in union with him. He crowned mankind with dignity and worth, with honor and glory. And since Adam sinned, man has been looking for that. Mankind's been looking for that to try to get it back. But we get it back in Christ. Glory to God. Now look over in Colossians chapter 1. Now you know, in these times, you can't preach the whole message of something on one, and I'll be honest with you, I've been here the last several times I've been preaching in prayer school. I taught this the other day in class at one of the Rhema classes. I taught it in prayer school. I preached it the other night at Rhema Bible Church. I preached it down in Brazil here in September at a ministers conference, over 800 ministers there. I preached it there. Why? Because God's preaching it to me. And I've been preaching. If no one else needs to hear it, I know I need to hear it, okay? But we're just get you started tonight and looking at these things. And it's amazing. Every time I look at this and start putting together, it seems like I've got a whole new list. I wish I could just put one list of scriptures and preach it, but that's not. It's always different because I'm seeing things. They keep tying things in. Glory to God. I've made a decision. I'm not looking for anything else. Amen. Not looking for anything else. Everything I need, God's already put on the inside of me, because he's in there. What else do we need but God?
That's right.
Right? Think about all that now. All that entails. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 now. Verse 27. If you just, let's look at that. Paul here talking about the mystery that didn't know. They didn't know this in the old covenant. They didn't have any idea this was going to be happening this way. In fact, it's such a mystery that in 1 Corinthians 2, he said if the ones who killed Jesus, basically if Satan had known, the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd known what? That God was going to raise him from the dead and then come live inside of man, they'd have left Jesus alone. Hallelujah. But he says here, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now notice, what is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory of God. That's his presence. Where is it? It's in us. Hallelujah. You know, we get excited if the presence, we feel the presence of God, you know, get a goosebump, or, you know, the you feel the warmth. You know, I remember back in, I got saved on June 30th, 1980. And thank God for, in those days, you know, there wasn't a lot of churches around that were really preaching the Word of God, Word of Faith churches, that type of thing. And in our town, there wasn't. But a bunch of folks had gotten Spirit-filled. Thank God for Full Gospel Businessmen and the Women's of Globe back. They had gotten turned on to God, you know. And they were having this Bible study. And somehow they got a hold of some of Brother Hagin's books and The New Birth and different things of that sort. And so they'd asked me to come. My dad had given me the New Birth book. And I'd read it. And really, you know, the church I grew up hadn't taught against any of this, but they hadn't actually taught that there was an action to take, you know, of believing that God. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I'd always believed that growing up in church, but I had never confessed Him as my Lord. And so guess what? I was headed straight to hell. I wasn't born again. But thank God I'd read that. And so they asked me to come to that, just to attend with them. They'd been going. And there was people there from, there was people there from the Lutheran church. There was people there from the Presbyterian church. People there, the song leaders were from the Catholic church. And the different. And we were in a room that was probably half, Manny, would you say? You were in Jordan, you were in their living room. Half of this stage. Or a third, maybe, of this stage. And there was 5 acoustic guitars, 3 or 4 tambourines. I mean, we were packed in there, all right? And this was, you can imagine, June 30th in central Illinois. It's hot. Maybe not as hot as it gets, but it's hot, and it's more humid there than it is here. So we're in there. I mean, and that group, you know, I got born again that night. But that group, we get to play it, and we get to sing in song, and it get warm in there. Well, that wasn't body heat. That was the move of the Spirit. You know, that's what we thought. Thank God, God brought us through. Amen. I mean, we had all kinds of strange doctrine, but thank God, God helped us through it all. Amen. But He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ is in us. The hope of the glory of God being in us. Now go to John chapter 14. Let's look at a few things here. John chapter 14. Now here, without reading it all, we're just going to read one verse, but let me tell you what's going on here. Jesus, you know, in answer to Thomas's question, Lord, show us the Father. He said, Thomas, have I been such a long time with you, you haven't known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And then he starts talking about, he said, believe that the Father's in me and I'm in him, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Because they prove one another. The fact that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, if you don't believe that, at least see what's being done. He said, it's the Father in me that's doing it. So that shows you who I am and what's going on. And then he said, he that believes on me, greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. Then he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Ask anything and I will do it. Then he talked about the commandment, verse 50. Then he starts talking about the Holy Ghost. Going to give us the Holy Ghost. He's going to come and he's going to be a comforter to us. He's not going to leave us as orphans. He's going to come to us. And he said, in a little while the world, but he said, I'm going to live again. Then he gets to verse 20, John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Now I want you to notice this. All right. So let's break this down. Jesus said, you'll know. He'd already been talking about the Father's in me and I'm in him. But he said, in that day, you'll know. When the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you, you'll know then that I'm in the Father. And you'll know then that you are in me. And not just that, I am in you. Well, if he's in the Father and he's in us, then guess who else is in there? The Father's in there. God is in us. Amen. And so John's gospel, it's interesting. You know, it was written many, many years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had been written. And so he doesn't include a whole lot of the things that they did in those Gospels. Of course, the birth and the death of Jesus and the resurrection are there to an extent. But he includes things that aren't that the others didn't say. It kind of helps us. And he really brings this out that Jesus started talking about this union. Okay, and that he was doing what he did because he was united with the Father. He said, the Father's in me and I'm in him. And then he started teaching here, and this is some of the last thing, but I mean throughout the last things that John records. And John said, look, if everything Jesus said and did was written, there's not enough books in earth to cover it all. He said, you can't even cover it all. But these things are written that you might believe and that you might have life, that everlasting life. He says here, though, in talking about this, that this union that Jesus and the Father had is now going to be made available to us. So go over to chapter 15 then. Here's some familiar scriptures. You've heard these. But let's look at it from that standpoint. Here again, that well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Have any of you ever seen a spring? Right? I mean, you really can't see the source of the spring, can you? You might see the results of the source, but it's usually buried somewhere. You can't see it. But the results, I mean, spring water, you ever drink spring water? It's good water. You know, if you ever get around, it's good water to drink. Well, it's why? Because it's clear. It's not polluted water. Well, we've got a well on the inside of us. It's the well of God. Hallelujah. A well of living water, a well of life of God inside of us. Springing up into everlasting life. That tells me again, I'll go back and say that all of my needs, all of your needs as a Christian are met by that well that's already in us. We don't need this out here. You don't need that out here. Now, I'm not saying you don't need relationships and you don't need, you know, you don't need to have friends and all that. I'm not saying that. But if your self-worth is based and your image of yourself is based on anything out here, then you're going to miss it because you're going to have to keep adding to. It'll never, ever be enough. But what you got on the inside is already not just enough. How many of you know it's more than enough? Because that's how God does things. He's always more than enough. Now here in John 15, look at verse number 4. Abide in me. And notice again now, I in you. So it's not just, again, it's not just that we're in him, he's in us. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Excuse me, for without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Now, you know, we like to talk about the in Christ, you know, scriptures, and we like to write those, tell us all the things we can do in Christ. You know, there's a list of things that we can, that the Bible says that we can't do because we're without him. All right. I'm not saying you make those confession cards of what I can't do. I mean, we don't need those. All right. But it's interesting. You know, sometimes have you ever heard people testify? You know, they'll talk about how that they did this and they believe God and their faith. And if they just leave the whole, they leave God out of the whole picture, basically. It's all about what they did. No, without him, we can do how much?
Nothing.
You know what the Greek word for nothing means? Nothing. No thing. Not anything. Not nothing. Zero without him. But thank God we're not without him. He's in us. And now what do we know about him? He can do all things. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that's impossible to God, right? Nothing. So guess what? I've got all the possibilities already on the inside of me. Every possibility you need is already inside of you. Now, see, we activate it through the Word of God and through using the name of Jesus, and those are a whole nother teachings. But tonight, I just want to kind of establish, all right? John 17, then, the 17th chapter. John 17. And let's look at verse number 20. We'll read 20 through the end of the chapter. So 20 through 26 here. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so that statement right there includes you and I. Somehow Now, I didn't hear Peter preach, but I've read what he wrote, right? And you realize that these that were there then, all the gospel got preached. They started the preaching of it. So somehow, some way, we've all heard, believed through their word. So he includes all of us in this. So he's praying for me. Say it. He's praying for me. Let's try it again one more time. He's praying for me. Say it. There you go. Verse 21. Now, what's he pray? That they all may be one. That's you and me. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, I find it interesting. I find it interesting in what's happening in the world today. Is there's the greatest push, and it's because we have such instant access to everything now. The greatest push for division in the history of the world is going on right now. Because Satan knows if Christians ever get together, he's finished for good. He knows he's finished. He knows that day's coming, but he's trying to put it off. He still thinks he can beat God and become God. But this division, and you think about it, we're divided up over everything. Amen.
Yeah, that's
in the world. And then in the body of Christ, we're divided up. Amen. And that's, boy, I better get off that or I'll get to meddling here. And I've got some of these over here that have been my students, they know I talk about these things. We got to learn to love one another, folks. I don't care if you're born in the north side, the south side, the east side, the west side, or born right on the tracks. It doesn't matter. We got to quit dividing ourselves up. You're either a Christian or you're not.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're as beautiful as me, you know. I won't name anybody but else on the other side. But you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. And listen, again, every time I look out here and I try to handle things out here and not handle things in here, I'm going to have to keep drinking from that. I'm going to have to keep going there. And it will never satisfy. It will never satisfy. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. He said, the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them. Now notice he mentions this again. I in them and you in me. Well, if he's in us and the Father's in Jesus, then guess who else is? The Father's in us. We've got the fullness of the Godhead in us. The hope of glory, praise God. That they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you've given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now that's not our subject tonight, but I want you, it is part of it. That notice he said, Father, I want them to know that you have loved them, verse 20, 23, the last part, you love them as you love me. Now, you know, you think most religious training is far from that, far from teaching us that God loves me exactly as he loves Jesus. Because what has it told us? We're not good enough. If you could fix this. But how many know, if you have to fix this to get right with God, that's a never-ending list to get right with God. It's a never-ending list. To try to earn God's love, it's a never-ending list. You can't get. But he said, Father, that you love them as you love me. And then this next verse, he said, you love me before the foundation of the world. So when did God make his decision to love you? Before he ever created the world. See, it's a decision he made that had nothing to do. You weren't around, so you couldn't do anything. God didn't look at you and say, okay, I'm going to love you because, you know, you're a good one. No, there wasn't anybody. There was nobody to look at. He made a decision. I'm going to love people. No matter what, I'm going to love them. And so if he made the decision without my performance can't affect his love for me.
Right.
Amen. Now, that doesn't mean I just go live like the devil. I mean, I don't know a Christian that wants to live like the devil. Why would you want to live like the devil? I mean, if you're wanting to live like the devil, then we need to baptize you really good. like somebody said, let's hold them down until they really repent. No, we won't do that. But, but you understand. You understand what I'm saying here. All right. He said, and you loved me before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Verse 25, then he says, O righteous Father, the world has not known me, known you, but I have known you. These have known that you have sent me, and I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Not only is he in us, that love's in us. That love is in us. God's love, and he is love, right? So he's in us. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 5 that says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. It's in us. God's in us. And so in thinking about that thirst, how are we going to satisfy that thirst for acceptance? How are you going to satisfy that thirst, you know? So many people, bless their hearts, so many Christians. Well, you know, if I just had more friends, or if I just had somebody, if I just had this, if I just had that. There's not a relationship available that will fulfill you outside of knowing that God's already in you.
Amen.
There's not one there. Listen, single folks, there's not another person out there. Married folks, there's not another person out there. All right? Amanda and I are married. We've been married over 30 years. I love her more now than ever. But she's not the answer that I need. It only comes in here. I'm not the answer she needs. That can only come from what God's done in here. You understand that? Now, I'm not saying, you know, that there's anything wrong with the marriage relationship. Well, if that's the case, I'll just never get married. No, I didn't say that. Okay? But because God has instituted the family, and he's instituted that. But what I am saying this, if you're looking, if you think that's going to fix all your problems, you just caused a lot of problems.
Right.
Hey, man, married folks, can I get a testimony? I mean, if you think getting married is going to solve your problems, whoa. Amen. And we're not pointing fingers at each other or anything like that. But why? Because that's not the answer. You can't answer. You can't find that any other way than knowing that Christ is in you. All right? Say it with me. Christ is in me. God is in me. My self-worth is found in him. He's in me. He loves me. Therefore, my thirst is quenched by the well of water of everlasting life that's in me now. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Don't you love the Word of God?
Amen.
It is our answer to everything in life. And, you know, I know how it is. You go along and you get busy with life and you forget to maintain that inner life. We got to maintain our inner life, that life that we live in the reality of God being in us. Not for fear. Oh, God's with me, so I better watch what I do. No. That God's with me, I have no impossibilities then. God's in me. He'll quench every thirst that I have. God's in me. Now, what do you know about God? When God, you're doing that, and you, instead of trying to have relationships feel that, you let God do it, but then he brings you into godly relationships. He does it. Remember, Adam had a relationship with God, he had a job, and then God brought him somebody. Just a thought, ladies, single ladies, just a thought there. He brought him a helpmeet. Somebody, how was she formed? From inside of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you and we praise you tonight. We give you glory and all honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.